You are listening to filmmusicsite.com. This is Composer Talk. Hello everybody, welcome to a new Composer Talk. My name is Tim Hormans and I'm your host here on www.filmmusicsite.com. Today I'm talking to film composer Elliot Goldenthal. Goldenthal was born on May 2nd in 1954 in Brooklyn, New York City, where he was influenced from an early age by music from all cultures and genres. He lived in a multicultural part of town, and this reflected later on his work when he was composing music. He studied film music full-time at the prestigious Manhattan School of Music, where he studied with composer John Corigliano, whom he greatly admired. He earned his Bachelor of Music degree in 1977 and Master of Music in 1979 in musical composition. As a composer of film music, Elliot Goldenthal has worked with famous directors such as Gus Van Sant, Michael Mann, David Fincher, Julie Taymor, and Neil Jordan. He has composed music for films such as Interview with the Vampire, Michael Collins, Batman Forever and Batman and Robin, A Time to Kill, Sphere, Alien 3, Titus, and Public Enemies. His latest score is A Tempest for director and his partner, Julie Taymor. Mr. Goldenthal, as a composer, has it always been your intention to become a composer of film music?
Well, not exclusively. I think my personality was driven to dramatic possibilities of my music. For example, opera, oratorio, ballet, and theater, and film. And all of those I'm very, very, very interested in pursuing. I think most of my work was done in the theater, but most of the recognition came in the cinema. But I'm very comfortable in those arenas. Although I enjoy writing non-programmatic music, for example, chamber music, etc. I enjoy the combination between drama and music.
Now, how did you get in touch with the world of film music?
As a fan, there was two movie theaters in New York when I was in my teens, called the Thalia and the Carnegie Hall Cinema, and they played classic movies and even avant-garde movies from the United States and France and Japan, etc., and the Netherlands and whatever, Flanders. But it was something that I got to appreciate world cinema and how the composers and great directors were working together, and it was very, very exciting. Even movies like Citizen Kane wasn't released at all, practically, in the United States. I got a chance to see it in the late 60s for the first time in a movie theater. That was very unusual. And hearing Bernard Herrmann, for example, his work with Orson Welles, et cetera, became very exciting to me. Hearing the work of Prokofiev with Russian directors and especially Eisenstein, mm-hmm. and Shostakovich and my own teacher's work, Aaron Copland, and I realized that film music is a very, very young art, very young, only 100 years old, and it's a viable dramatic art. And that was something that I wanted to be part of, mm-hmm. as well as the other The other arts, which is much older, the opera is probably started in the 16th century or you know, early 17th century, but you know,
yeah,
as well as ballet. So it has a, you know, 500-year advantage.
Now, in 1989, you had your big breakthrough with the film Drugstore Cowboy, a film directed by Gus Van Sant. How was it to work with Mr. Gus Van Sant?
Oh, we had a great time. He loved for me to improvise most of the score right in front of him. So it was very unusual to, you know, compose that way.
Mm-hmm. And did you have any experience before writing the music for Drugstore Cowboy? Was this your first big movie that you scored?
No. It wasn't a big movie. It was a little movie. Mm-hmm. But in the 1970s, I recorded two movies that had Andy Warhol in it. One of which is, was re-released called Blank Generation. I did the score for that. It was with a director named Uli Lommel, who was best known for his acting, Fassbinder actor. And this movie had Andy Warhol as one mm-hmm. of the actors in as well.
Okay.
So that was early in my life, early feature films, yeah.
Okay, now in 1992, you wrote the score to the third Alien film, directed by David Fincher. Now, when you began working on this film, did you look back to what Jerry Goldsmith and James Horner did for the first two films?
I heard it in the movie theater when they came out, and I was very impressed. But once I got the assignment to compose for it, it was a different director and a different story. So I didn't listen to either Mr. Horner or Jerry Goldsmith. I admire their work, but I didn't want to be influenced. I went on my own way.
Okay, and did David Fincher talk to you about what he wanted for this score?
Well, he did. He wanted a feeling of doom, but he also give me an opportunity to experiment for about 5 months with very, very avant-garde techniques and electronic music, and that in combination with orchestra before we actually did it, the final version.
Now, 2 years later, you composed a score to Interview with the Vampire, for which you received your an Oscar nomination. It marked your first collaboration with director Neil Jordan. How did you meet this director?
I think he heard music that I did for a movie called Cobb, about an American baseball player that was very violent and very strange individual. But that was after hearing that score, he became very interested in you know, me scoring that, and we met on the telephone, and then you know, we since then composed or worked together for in five movies.
Yeah, some of those movies are Michael Collins, The Butcher Boy and The Good Thief. Now, when you work again with this director, does this put you more at ease as a composer that you work for a director you already know?
Well, it gives more trust. However, every film has its own tension involved, and sometimes a director isn't as secure as the director should be, and that creates tension between the other collaborators. So it's no real, you know, formula. However, it does create more trust.
With director Joel Schumacher, you've worked on two Batman films, Batman Forever and Batman and Robin. Now, Schumacher was brought in to take the Batman franchise to a whole new direction. You took over the scoring duties from Danny Elfman, who did the first two Batman films. Was it for you clear from the start to go more over the top with the new Batman score, more comic book-like music style?
Well, that was the Joel's idea, was that we tried to get it more of a comic book feeling. However, there's a lot of variety in Batman Forever that I think there might have been more variety in that score than the wonderful scores that Danny wrote. But I don't know. Again, it's a different director and a different Batmobile, a different script.
So yeah. Now, you created your own Batman team. How did you come up with this team?
I always thought about a child playing with a toy car. You know, they kind of, if you watch a child, they compose their own scores, you know. So I thought about, you know, a child gonna just you know, the sense of pulse, the sense of heroism, and I wanted to feel very, very, very mythic as well as childlike. So it had that feeling of a child and a comic book and all in one.
And here is the main theme from Batman Forever, music composed by Elliot Goldenthal. Now, you've worked with director Julie Taymor on four films. How is it to work with your partner on a movie?
This is the fifth. We just finished Tempest.
So the fifth film already. Now, how is it to work with your partner on a film?
It's no different. You know, it's everything is it's a challenge. It's no different than working with Neil Jordan. Sometimes it creates more trust, but at the same time, you know, everything has its own challenge to it.
Now, for Titus, you've used very different styles, going on from orchestral to rock to jazz. Whose idea was it to mix all these styles? And what was the idea behind it?
The idea was going from, first of all, creating an environment which time doesn't really exist. It's not Roman times, and it's not Shakespearean times. It's, if you go to Rome, for example, now, you'll hear jazz, you'll hear rap, you'll hear classical music, you know, and it was, that was one of the influences. Also, I went chronologically with the characters, the more fascist-like characters, like the older generation. They listened to music that was in the 1930s and 40s, which is kind of a jazz thing. And then the younger guys who were, you know, the teenagers, they listened to more of a techno rock type of thing. So it kind of went with the our associations with time periods.
When you work with your partner, did you already encounter a situation where you see the music, you want to go in another direction with your music than she does?
Yes. In a situation like that, it's, you know, for example, Neil or Julie will say, okay, try it. And you have to be convincing, you know, your music does the talking, your music does the negotiating. There's nothing you can say. If it works, it works great. And then you convince whether it's Julie Taymor or Joel Schumacher that that's appropriate. But it's very important to have a strong opinions and stand your artistic ground.
Before we continue this interview, let's first listen to some music written by Elliot Goldenthal. Here's some music from Titus. This is Victorious Titus.
Oh.
When you start on a film, what's your starting point? Where does your main inspiration come from? Is it the director, the story, the acting, the film set?
It's what the director wants to achieve, first of all. And sometimes when there's songs involved, as in my, as in Frida, for example, or as in Tempest, you have to write the songs before the movie is shot because they have to be rehearsed. In some cases, choreographed. So and Across the Universe was a lot of music that had a composer that's not Beatles music that had to be, composed before the movie because it was choreographed on the set.
You've written music for a few of Shakespeare's plays, such as Titus, Othello, the ballet, and your latest project, The Tempest. Stories all about hate, treachery, drama, and love. Now, how do you translate all these emotions into your music?
Well, by reflecting the reflecting the performance of the actors. The thing is about Shakespeare that made him so great as a writer is nothing is clear. There's nothing exactly the way it seems in many so often. So it's very, very difficult to have a single opinion about this social situation. The only clue that you can get is from the interpretation of the actor, as well as the instructions of either director. And you can see behind the eyes, the machinations of the brain, what the actor is trying to achieve, because Shakespeare is very, very difficult. Nothing is what it seems.
Mm-hmm. Now, you already told your latest movie is The Tempest. Can you tell us something about this movie?
Well, it's just Shakespeare's last play. He composed completely by himself. And it's considered a comedy, but it also has themes of treachery, political tension, intrigue, and high comedy and very, very low comedy, like commedia. In Italy, and it also it takes on philosophical themes very seriously related to the Enlightenment and the social class system, and also colonialization. That was very, very important for Shakespeare in 1611. So the colonials aspect of usurping communities from their property around the world was a very, very politically highly charged subject in Shakespeare's time.
Mm-hmm. Now, and what about the score? Is this also a mix of different styles like on Titus?
Yes, but it's not as jagged or violent as because it's a more lyrical story. But the also it's set in no time, and it's more more use of rock and roll than in Titus. It's mainly amplified guitars and. That the score, if you're curious, it will be available on my own label, Zarathustra Music. It'll be out on the 14th of December. The movie premieres on the 11th in the United States.
Now, are there any upcoming projects you already want to talk about?
Yes, I'm working on a movie that involves many, many songs. I don't want to call it a musical because that's not fair. Thomas Mann novella that he wrote called The Transposed Heads. And it's a very, very sort of comic horror and romantic. It's a very, very strange and philosophical novella he wrote, I believe, in the 1940s, one of his last works.
And do you create your own songs, or is it
Yes, absolutely. Completely all original. And it's something that Julie Taymor and I have been working on for the last year and a half. So hopefully we'll be able to raise some money and, you know, see that through.
Okay. Now, to end the interview, I have a few short questions. Of which of your own scores are you particularly proud of?
Well, particularly proud of. I'm particularly proud of the last work, The Tempest. I'm particularly proud of Titus, Butcher Boy, Interview with a Vampire, Cobb, Drugstore Cowboy. You know, there's quite a few. In Dreams is another one. Frida is a very, very melodic and something that, you know, would really get an opportunity to work on something very romantic. And, outside of, especially outside of my own culture, which is Mexico.
Okay. Now, which is your favorite score of another composer?
Well, that's really difficult because there's so many reasons I like different scores, but Bernard Herrmann's North by Northwest is one that comes up. Nino Rota, his work for The Godfathers is unbelievable, especially Godfather 2. There's so many. It can take. It will take days for me to, you know.
Now, last question: who is your favorite composer of all time? It's just to finish the interview, so.
I can't.
You can name a few if you want. Some people who have inspired you as a composer.
Maybe Stravinsky, Mahler, Louis Armstrong, as I unravel other cultures and they become significant to me as great influences, but certainly Mozart, certainly Bach, Gabrielli, and it's
okay.
Yep.
Thank you very much for the interview, and I wish you best of luck in the future.
Yes. Have a nice day.